Hello. It's a one-off today. So we are joining you sort of live. It's Business Analysis Live coming to you from the Building Business Capability Conference. I'm Susan Moore. I'm the Community Engagement Manager here at IIBA.
And I'm Scott Bennett. I'm the Manager of Business Analysis here at the International Institute of Business Analysis. We've got a live session set up today. We're really excited about it. You might, if you listen to this regularly, hear that my voice is really deep right now. I was scheduled to be live at this conference and speaking live. Unfortunately, 6 days before my flight was scheduled to take off, I tested positive for COVID. So we're not able to do what we originally had planned with me being on site and talking with speakers. But for those of you who have heard about this mysterious Roslyn, Roslyn is on site at the conference. So she's helping us today by doing a live session. And we're going to speak to some of the speakers that are at the conference and really get to understand, you know, the value and significance of being in person with people from the international community. So the purpose of our live sessions are to give people a chance to ask questions live. So we'll take those as we go. But there's a number of speakers at the conference that we want to chat through and just sort of get an idea. What's it like to be at a conference? What's it like in 2020 to be in person? So Roslyn, if you want to bring the first guest in the frame, we'll ask them a few questions.
And surprise us, whoever is sitting closest, it's going to be...
You will want to speak to all four of them. I see them. Surprise. So the first would be Philip.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
It's good to see you. It's been a minute since you and I have chatted. I think it was last year when we were doing some end of year stuff. So thanks for joining us.
Yes. So for our audience purposes, Philip, you're from Brussels, correct?
That's right, from near Brussels in Belgium. Yes.
Belgium. Great, great. So what our viewers will see today is there's a number of international speakers here, and this is a great example. You were speaking on a couple of different topics this week. I think one of them was MVPs demystified, and the other one was how BAs can close the gap between strategy and execution. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that's okay. Right.
Yeah, did you have any really tough questions in the sessions this week?
Most questions are, how do I do this in practice? Yeah. And we get some practical techniques, tricks, conversation starters to help people think about things differently, look at things differently in your specific organization. So, and I like those because we can theorize about all the BA techniques and stuff, but it's in projects with real people that it actually becomes reality.
Okay.
You know, we often talk about, you know, business analysis on the technology side, but you know, when business analysis professionals are deployed working in strategy, it's much different. Tell us about, are you seeing more business analysis professionals coming out for those sessions? Are they talking about strategy being a big part of what their role is?
It's definitely been a topic at this conference. A number of tracks were about strategy and strategic BA. And I do see people look for making that connection with strategy, not necessarily doing the strategy, but making the connection to make sure projects actually help us achieve those goals that we are trying to achieve.
Hmm. Yeah, I know that's it. It is. It seems a little bit... abstract, this idea of doing strategy. So for business analysis professionals. So I'm really glad you're bringing this expertise, and I'm glad people are looking for real techniques. What are some of the techniques that you've talked about as part of that strategy to execution gap?
Well, one of the challenges is indeed, as you say, make sure strategy is not something fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the techniques that I use is the strategy sniff test. And it goes like this. If you take the opposite strategy, does it sound stupid? So for example, if your strategy is, let's improve the customer experience, the opposite would be, let's make the customer experience worse. Usually that sounds stupid. Now that means not that your strategy of improving the customer experience is a bad one. it's just not offering you enough detail, enough guidance to make it land in projects. And so that's a very simple test to check. Do we have enough information to start this project, or do we first need some additional strategic context?
I love that technique, the strategy sniff test.
That's great.
Come up with it. So if people want to have the reference, they can always get in touch.
Yeah. And
I think what we should do afterwards, Susan, is put everyone's names on LinkedIn and people could connect and
that's a great idea.
Really reach out to people. So thank you, Philippe, for joining with us. I understand there's a few more people in the room there. If you wouldn't mind physically grabbing the next person to you and bring them in the frame, it was wonderful speaking with you.
I'll do it.
Yeah. And thanks so much. So, yep, again. So here comes the next person. Look at that. Oh my gosh. It's Angela Wick. Hey, Angela. And
hello,
it's Danilkis.
That a little bit.
It's like that business analysis tag team. All right.
When you said grab the next person, I just put my hand out and
that's who you grabbed. Yeah. Well, hey, that's a great part about our community.
Yeah. So those who aren't aware of Angela Wick, Angela is quite well known from the U.S. And Angela, you were talking about influencing product ownership through analysis this week. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
And did you have any really tough questions that people were asking about that were a little bit stumpers?
I mean, I think the common theme with the questions really revolves around skills, roles, titles. I always get a lot of questions around that. When we're talking about product ownership, we're talking about linking strategy all the way down through product vision, outcome metrics, product metrics, impact mapping, all the way to make the trace and lineage from strategy and vision to user stories and epics that are then put into, you know, sprint goals and increments of value and demos. And everyone's like, wait a second, is that my role? And I mean, the real question becomes, well, you can co-create all of this with others that might be confused about their role as well. So really, can we not think about roles and titles and think about what skills can we offer to help make all this linkage happen?
And that's
kind of a common theme. And there might be other roles that, you know, BAs might be afraid others have in that. So, well, go co-create it with them, right?
Yeah, and I see that somewhat of a challenge is, you know, we've got this role that we put titles on in organizations to make it easier to understand what people do.
Yeah.
Yet some of the stuff that we do as our in our profession is very hard to describe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And I know that when members talk with me, they talk a lot about, well, that business analyst title is going away, but yet I'm getting pulled into product ownership work, but I don't have that title. I'm sure you're seeing that same thing. What do you tell business analysis professionals that are caught in this this gap of, I'm still doing business analysis work, but my title doesn't sound like business analysis anymore?
Everyone does business analysis. I really think we need to decouple the practice and the title. It's not only business analysts that do business analysis, right? Product owners do, product managers do, all different types of analysts do, CEOs do. Everybody does analysis. It just might be in a different level of detail or perhaps a different context and supporting different decisions and different problems.
Yeah. And I think we've probably got old ways of thinking about that title business analyst that probably we need to chip away at some of that as well.
Yeah.
Right. Angela, it's been great talking to you. Okay, reach out your hand, grab for the next person. Who you're pulling in?
I'm pulling her in. Here she comes.
Woo! Oh my gosh, it's Christina Lovelock. Hey, Christina.
Hey, Christina. Thanks for joining us.
This is my first time attending BBC in person, so it's been an exciting week for me.
Oh my gosh. Tell us a little bit about that. Actually, Scott and I were talking because, you know, Scott was supposed to be there this week and then the COVID bug got him. What is this conference like, or this in-person conference like, compared to in-person conferences you might have been in before COVID?
Yeah, so I've been in a lot of different conferences in different countries. This is a big conference. There's a lot of energy here. It's great to get back together after a gap. A lot of people are saying this is the first conference they're attending after COVID. Certainly, this is the first conference I've spoken at live since COVID. So there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of feeling like we're back together again.
That's wonderful. Oh my gosh. And for those of you who haven't noticed, Christina's accent, she's from the UK. So another international speaker at the conference. That's wonderful. And you were speaking about leaders, followers, and trusted advisors. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think BAs tend to shy away a little bit from leadership and not see themselves as having a leadership position. So I think it's really important that we talk about leadership more. We talk about leadership as a skill set, as something that anyone can improve in. We can all improve our leadership skills. It's not a set of traits that you either have or don't have. So I was talking about those three roles of leaders, followers, and trusted advisors, and a lot of emphasis on how do we build trust with our stakeholders and customers, which is such an important aspect of business analysis.
Yes, yes, it I is. Agree.
I sometimes think that we don't see ourselves as leaders. I agree with you, but we really are informal leaders, even if we don't have that title. And building trust is such a core, it is a core tenet of what we do in order to be able to get the work done that we need. So that's a great topic.
We want our work to have impact. We want to have influence on our organizations, on the people and processes. And to do that, we have to build trust.
Mm-hmm. It's there really are things that you can do to move that along, and there are also things that you can do to hurt that. So I am sure that you have talked about all of that. And Christina, it's so great. I'm hoping sometime you and I get a chance to talk and meet in person. Thank you so much.
Would you like?
Yes, just reach out. Who are you grabbing next?
Jen. Here we go.
Hello. You know what? I love that we are incorporating like holding of hands. I just feel like that's what business analysis do. We sometimes grab our stakeholders by the hand and lead them along. So I love this visual metaphor. And hey, Jen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. Jen is a fellow Canadian. She and I are both Canadians. So more international flavor here. Jen, you were talking about stop being owls and start being leaders. Yeah. Really interesting topic. Tell us about that.
Well, okay, so what do owls say? Who's supposed to do that? Who was supposed to do that? Who let the dogs out? Right? So it's very similar actually to Christina's message, which is as BAs, we may not be the project manager. We may not be the leader, but we are all leaders. So instead of asking who did or who was supposed to, it's more about how can I help and what can I do next? So taking that ownership for everything.
Oh, very good. And yeah, what's that, like being there at this conference in Florida, being with people physically since, you know, not being able to do this over the last couple of years?
This is actually my first time at BBC. Okay. And I realize now how much I've been missing all these years. It feels though, like even though it's been a few years, it feels like we've never left. Having been to a few conferences, maybe not this one, but BAs are just awesome people. And we come back and pick up where we left off.
That's wonderful. Great
That's
to hear.
Great to hear. Also, I think, you know, there's something about being with people that is so energizing. And I think for business analysis professionals, having those folks in the room and being able to talk, I think it makes you see relationships in such different ways. So it's great to hear everybody is having such a good time at this live conference this year.
Some people I've met for the first time in person. So it's even more exciting.
well, that's great, right? Because we've all seen each other through cameras. Mm-hmm. Jen, I think you and I met a couple of years ago at the virtual BBC conference. It's quite different, right? You really get to see, wow, you've got like arms and legs and you move around and stuff. That's really cool.
The thing that throws me off is I saw a photograph, it was on LinkedIn, of everyone standing in a group, and it was fantastic to see that. But what surprised me was the heights of people. You know, we all look at each other eye to eye on a camera, but when you see people relative, well, I didn't think so-and-so was so tall or so short.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Jen, is there anybody left in the room? Have we gotten...
There is. And when you talk about energy and people who bring that energy, let me just pull in some energy for you.
Oh, okay. My goodness. Who is this?
Hello, folks.
Oh, it's Fabrizio. Oh my goodness. And you've got your t-shirt on, so you're doing a little, there you go, the Brazilian BA.
Yes, I'm doing some merchandise in this conference. I have my title on my chest.
That's right. You got
Fabrizio,
the t-shirt.
You joined us fresh off the stage. You just finished a presentation, so the adrenaline must be flowing. Yes. What were you talking about today?
I was talking about something we have already talked here in the LinkedIn Lives about the business analysis mindset. What can unite us as a greater group of professionals who are using this way of thinking to bring better business outcomes for business. And so when we are talking about the business analysis mindset, we are speaking not just about business analysts, but business architects, product managers, or maybe engineers, or I don't know, lawyers or doctors, anyone who can think about what is the real problem that we have to solve? What are the alternatives for that problem? How can I change my business to get better outcomes? So that's the way we think and the way we should spread to the world as a message or some practices that people can use in any job.
And that seems aligned with some of the messaging that we're hearing throughout this conference is it's not about the business analyst title. It's more about this skill set that people can use regardless of what their job title is.
Yes, you know, something that was interesting in my presentation, Scott, I put some small parts of videos of interviews that I have been doing in my YouTube channel during the last year, and we are all speaking the same language. We are all on the same track. We are connected. We are aligned in the way of seeing business analysis. We are all trying to bring a bigger community and to make people engage in this idea. And this is such an amazing community. It was so nice to see people together. I felt so much you could not join us, Scott. I was hoping to see you personally. We have spoken about that, right? And I even had you in my YouTube channel and you spoke how much excited you are about coming. And I'm sorry, I have to tell you, it was great.
All right. Now we get to the part where you talk about how great it is. And here we are stuck at home. Oh my gosh. Well, that's so great. What kinds of questions on the BA mindset, what kinds of questions were the folks asking about that?
But I see more insights than questions when people heard about the BA mindset. The title of my presentation was Business Analysis is Not a Role, It's a Mindset.
Oh.
And just about exposing that, a lot of people look for me and say, So people can relate to that because I believe people are kind of tired about talking about roles and responsibilities. Oh, that's not what business analysts do. That's what the product owner do. Like if the product owner was not doing business analysis, right? So they're trying to put some boundaries between organizations. And I understand the need for that because methodologies have to put boundaries and define a matrix of roles and responsibilities. But that's not the boundaries of the discipline of business analysis or what I'm calling the mindset of the business analysis. Those are boundaries for a specific job role or a specific job position. And that specific job position may be called business analyst or may have other names. No, I don't mind. But the business analysis is not just done by those who have this role position. It's done by a lot of people, as Angela said before.
Right. Well, for our audience, if you have an interest in hearing more about what Fabrizio is talking about, the business analysis mindset, we do have a previous episode that we've recorded, and we have some hot news off the press that Susan's going to share of how you can watch those or listen to those.
We are really excited because some of the feedback that we had gotten is, how can I listen to these recordings after the fact? We just this week launched our podcast. And so we are taking these LinkedIn Lives, including the one that Fabrizio did with us on the BA mindset. And you can find them on Spotify, Amazon, Google, and Apple. And the other thing is, you can get CDUs for that. And so we'll give out some more information on that coming up, but we're really excited.
Before ending, may I call my friends here with me? I believe we can even get more space.
You know what? This is like a Saturday Night Live episode, live from BBC.
Yes, directly from Florida, Miami.
That's right.
Hollywood, Florida, BBC with you guys.
That's right. High five.
That's fantastic.
Thank you guys for joining us today.
Yes, thank you all. And for those of you who are watching or listening offline, we also have an email address that you can submit questions to or thoughts that you'd like us to cover topics on at live@iiba.org. So you can submit those, and we will certainly respond and put those ideas in there. So thank you, everyone, for joining us at the conference. Really wish I could be there, but there's always next year, right?
That's right. There's always next year. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This is the end of our live session, but if you've got questions, you can send us an email at live@iiba.org or leave us a voice message and we'll answer your question at one of our upcoming broadcasts. Join us.